Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Guys, have you noticed, have you ever wondered or heard someone say, that they have a high tolerance for something?
You know, oh, yeah.
Like for pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drugs, medication.
Yeah.
Right. Even like people say alcohol, you know.
Right, right.
So high tolerance. What they're really saying is that they're able to go through a lot of whatever that thing is without it having an effect on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or stopping them. Well, I got to thinking about this. Right now, there's a high tolerance for sin in the land. There's a high tolerance for sin in the land. I mean, to talk about sin is one of the most unpopular messages today.
Goodness,
I
mean, right?
You don't talk about sin. You can talk about anything else.
Just be pointing out my 90, stuff.
90 ways to a better you, but don't bring up the sin thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's one of the most important things to address.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can't deal with the sin issue, there's nothing else you can deal with that really matters. You know what I mean? Like all this other extra stuff here doesn't matter if you don't deal with you know, the main thing. You gotta let the main thing be the main thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people often talk about the problems that we're facing in the world, you know, and there's a whole bunch of problems, you know, economy, saving the planet from global warming, right?
Yeah.
We have an obesity problem. Don't forget we got to save the whales. Save the whales. You know, we have a drug and a drug problem and a poverty problem. And these are all legitimate problems, you know, except for the global warming thing, right?
Right.
These are all, you know, there are problems. But you can go on and on talking about all the problems, but who's talking about the sin problem? I mean, we're facing a serious problem, and if we don't each individually reckon with the sin issue, right, it could damn our souls to hell.
Yeah.
This is a reality. This is for real. And you think about all the problems that people face today and what the world is facing, many of them are rooted in sin.
That's right.
A great, great, great majority. When you think about to tolerate, that word means to accommodate oneself, get comfortable. It means to accept, to permit, to allow the presence of.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at toleration and you look at sin, my goodness, there has been a whole lot of toleration of sin.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday we were talking about, And if you missed yesterday's program, be sure to catch it, of course, on the torch. But yesterday we were talking about people get ready. Jesus is coming.
Mm.
And we talked about the day the Lord returns and how it's going to come like a flash, you know, a flash of lightning, like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. And we need to be ready. And 2 Peter tells us that in the last days, that they're going to be scoffers and mockers. I mean, scoffers and mockers jeering, you know, where is this coming, he promised. Don't be fooled, he is coming.
Oh, yeah.
And in verse 8 of 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And sometimes, because people don't see an immediate ramification for the sin in their life or what's happening, they guess I got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, don't misconstrue here. Don't misunderstand the immediate ramification for God's winking at it. He's giving you time.
Yeah.
He's giving you time to recognize and realize, I got to get this out of my life. I got to get this out of my life. And the word says that it's going to come like a thief, right?
Yeah.
That the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done with it will be laid bare. So the question is then, how are we to live? How ought we to live in view of knowing that the Lord can come back at any moment? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How ought we to live? And in verse 11, Peter tells us, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. We should live holy, separate lives to God. And you know something is wrong. I mean, how do you know if you have a toleration of sin? How do you know if this is evident? Well, you know something's wrong when people freely tolerate what Jesus died and gave up his life for. But I think something is wrong. You know that you have a tolerance for sin when you laugh at something that Jesus would weep over. That's tolerance. You know that you have a tolerance for sin when what used to make you quick to repent doesn't even faze you anymore. You know when you have a high tolerance for sin when you can pray to the Lord day in and day out without the slightest prayer of repentance and the asking for forgiveness.
Wow.
Just, Lord, give me more. Give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more.
Bless me.
Bless me one more time, please. You know you have a tolerance of sin. So how do you know you have a tolerance? How do you know you have a tolerance? You know you have a tolerance of sin when you have lost the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's conviction. There's no sensitivity. It doesn't hurt you anymore. You can hear people curse the Lord's name in vain, and it does absolutely nothing to you.
Nothing.
You know you have a tolerance of sin in your life when bad doesn't seem that bad anymore. It's just not that bad anymore. You know you have a tolerance of sin when the things that would offend Jesus don't even offend you. We're talking about, how can you know you have a tolerance of sin? You know you have a tolerance of sin when you lack complete appetite and don't even want to open the Word of God. And the thing about sin is that sin is deadly. I mean, sin put Jesus on the cross. And we have to get real with sin. We have to get real. It's not your friend. It's your enemy. Sin is anything Jesus wouldn't do. And what are the results from sin? I mean, sin will separate you from God. Sin hurts the Lord. Sin puts you on the side of the devil and the demons. Sin stops the anointing. Sin steals your confidence in God. Sin hurts others. Sin leads to bondage and being bound. Sin enslaves. Sin steals your passion for God. And sin shames the sinner. The truth is it's time to turn back to God. It's time to confess the things that we've been tolerating. David said that I've sinned against you and you alone, God. The greatest sin today is to try to live a life apart from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is still, right? Pat, Chris, Jesus is still the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah,
he's still the Lamb of God. And Jesus dealt with the sin issue on the cross.
That's right.
When he died for our sins. The only way we will ever have right standing with God is when we confess our sins, repent, and accept Jesus into our lives. He paid the price for us. But if we don't accept his payment, we have to pay.
Right.
and we will pay with our lives in eternity. It's time to settle this in your heart, in our hearts, once and for all, that you don't want to have a tolerance for sin in your life, and that you want to have a relationship. You want to guard your relationship. If you don't know God, sin is separating you from knowing him. You can repent of it. But maybe you've known God and little foxes are coming in to spoil the vine. Little things become big things. Mm-hmm. When you start winking at little things, trust me, they'll become bigger and bigger. It's time to say, I am not going to tolerate this in my life anymore. And I'm going to turn from it. And I'm going to ask God to empower me. And when you cry out to God and you ask the Lord to forgive you, God will forgive you. Ask the Lord to help you, and he will help you. But we've got to get the sin out. We've got to get the sin out. Zero tolerance. There's a tolerance for sin today like never before. And if you listen closely, you know, the catchphrase of the hour, the word of the hour is, we need to be tolerant. We need tolerant. We need to accept everything. We need to accept everyone. You know, we need to be accepting. Well, listen, we don't need to be accepting of sin.
That's right.
We don't need to be accepting of the very thing that Jesus came to die for and to set us free from and paid the price so that we wouldn't have to pay the price. But today everyone is living, it appears, like sin doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's objectionable. It's debatable. It's all acceptable. If it feels good, hey, do it.
Do it.
Do it. But let me tell you something, that type of mindset, that type of lie will get you tripped up. Will get you tripped up in the end. And Jesus is still the Lamb of God that John the Baptist said. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's what makes the Lord just so wonderful and so beautiful. He did what we cannot do on our own. We cannot live a righteous life on our own. The righteousness that we have comes all from the Lord when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And so we need to deal with this. If we don't know God, we need to leave a sinful life that separates us from him.
That's right.
We cannot believe the lie. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that you can live a life of sin and have Jesus too.
Right.
Because let me tell you something, if Jesus blessed you and answered all your prayers while you're living a life of sin, that means Jesus will be condoning your sin. He does not, right? So it separates us from him. It's a lie that says that, you know what, like we talked about the love of God, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. No height, no depth, no hardship, no trial. Mm-hmm. But you and your sin can separate you from his love. His love doesn't stop.
That's right.
His heart is turned to you. He'll never turn his back from you. But we turn ourselves away from him. And it's a word for the hour to caution us, for us not to fall asleep and to be lulled away, but to be vigilant, to be sensitive to the ways of the Lord. That, you know, one of the things that's about sin is that it steals your passion for God. And the way the devil is, he'll try to trick you and lead you and tempt you into sin. And then he'll begin to shame you. And which makes you want to stay farther away from God. When in reality is that when you've sinned and you've fallen flat on your face, is a time that you need to run to him all the more and cry out to him and say, Lord, Father, forgive me. Give me a hatred for sin. Give me a hatred for the things that hurt your hearts and help me to have a relationship. That's why you need to have a relationship with God. You need to walk with him and talk with him and abide and read his word, and his word can begin to start, you know, affecting your life on the inside. We need to have a zero tolerance.
That's right.
A zero tolerance.
Yeah, that's good, John. You know, I was just reading in the word, it says in Ephesians that he chose us to live holy and godly lives. And he predestined us because of his love for us to be in sonship. You know, we were predestined to be sons. And Joshua tells us, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Mm.
You know, and you know, God chose us. We didn't choose him. Mm-hmm. We have to choose now that he has chosen us.
Right.
I mean, and just to think of that we're chosen, you know, to be his, you know, we should, That's an honor. You know,
it's an honor.
It's an honor that he has chosen us to be his sons and to now live our lives fully and wholly to him.
You know, that's right.
That's just it's powerful, man.
And the word of God says that we've been bought with a price. I'm so sure what you're saying, Chris. We've been bought with a price. You know, Jesus paid it all for us. The least we can do is to attempt to honor him, right? But it's to honor him. It's to honor him is to give him our life and to say, Jesus, your ways, your ways, your ways.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, you're talking about this morning, what's really remind me of something that happened yesterday. You know, we're talking about, you know, Caden and Connor and that awesome story with those guys and, you know, and helping people in need, you know, and loving each other and not be so self-focused, you know, get outwardly focused.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday I'd read a scripture and it's in Galatians 6 and it talks exactly what you were referring to earlier. And it says, let's not get tired of doing what is good.
Mm.
And at just the right time, if we won't, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the family of God. And, you know, as I read that yesterday and, you know, went on my day and something interesting happened to me yesterday. While I'm at the, I went to go pick something up, for the ministry. And I don't know about you guys, but I tend to get really focused on what I'm doing. You know, I get really task focused. Like, I'm going in the store, I'm going and get what I need, and I'm getting out. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hang. I don't want to be in here no longer than I have to.
Yeah.
Unlike women, they like to, you know, browse and, you know,
window shop.
I didn't say that.
I'm like, get me out of here quick. But,
you don't like taking your time? You don't like.
Well, it depends on what I'm looking like. If I'm in Home Depot looking at tools, no, that's another story.
Then you don't mind browsing.
I don't mind browsing. Yeah, yeah.
Tiptoeing through the aisles.
But for the most part, I'm like in and out, in and out. But yesterday, I'm in Office Depot picking up some stuff, and I look over to my right, and I see this little old couple, and you could tell that his wife was handicapped because he's like trying to he's holding her up so she doesn't fall, propping her up against this counter, because they had this printing section over in one part of it, and I'm at the checkout, and I'm getting ready to go, and I just keep looking over, and it's like you could tell they're really struggling over there, and I'm like, those poor things, she's a wheelchair or something, you know, help her out. And nobody's doing anything, you know, he's like propping her up while he moves this thing out of the way.
No one in the store, nobody?
No, nobody. I just couldn't sit there. You know, I got my stuff, I checked out, and I walked over there, and I'm asking, do y'all need some help? I mean, what can I do for you? And he's like, they're fixing to leave, and so I help him like walk her out, and she can barely walk. She can barely move. I'm like, what is she doing in here in the first place?
Wow.
She's like scooting her feet like 2 inches. I mean, she cannot hardly move. We're like, took us probably 10 minutes to get to the front door. And bless her heart. And he was really thankful. He was really appreciative. And they're probably in their 70s or 80s. I mean, really elderly.
Wow.
I felt so bad. And, you know, I held her up while, you know, he went to go get the car and come back. It's like, what are y'all doing in here?
Oh my goodness.
Bless his heart. And I'm like, you know, I've prayed for her and everything. And it just, and again, this morning, and I'm reading, I just happened to look down at my Bible again, and that scripture just jumped off the page again.
Mm.
And I hadn't even realized I had read it that morning. You know what I'm saying? And so it all just flooded back to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, I get real tunnel vision.
Right.
You know, and I miss a lot of opportunities. After God reminds me of them later, he's like, you know, you should have did such and such, or you should have done that. I'm like, oh, dang. You know what I'm saying? I beat myself up.
Right.
But then, you know, yesterday I had that opportunity to do that, and it just felt so good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, Jesus, that was for you. You know, that was you. Whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing it to me, no matter who it is.
That's good.
That's very good.
You know what I'm saying? It was just...
And what I hear you saying is that we just got to get accustomed to looking for these opportunities and giving up our time. I think that we've become a culture that's so driven by time. We've got all of these devices and technologies and all these things to help us save time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about the farmer, you know, Paul Harvey did a tribute to the farmer. And if you missed that, you got to listen to it on the Torch, VFNTV.com, click Torch, and type in farmer. But you hear about the labor that people to get up early in the morning, get out there, milk the cows, and do it. What do they do when they didn't have wash machines? What do they do when they didn't have microwaves? What do they do when they didn't have dishwashers? You know, what do they do when they didn't have, you know, vacuum cleaners and all these different cell phones and tablets and all these things that we have to save us time? And yet, we're still saying we don't have the time.
Yeah.
We don't have the time. You know, we didn't have to go out there and kill the chicken. You know what I'm saying? Pluck the chicken, make the chicken. It's like, just put that thing in a microwave, or even better yet, go to the drive-thru or whatever and pick up dinner.
Right, exactly.
And yet, we're too busy. What I hear you that we're saying is that we probably need to, and not probably, but what we need to slow down to the pace of love.
Right. Look for the opportunity. That's what it says here. When we have the opportunity, do some good.
Yeah.
Pay attention. You know, don't get in such a hurry that you miss those opportunities, that you miss Jesus walking by.
Hello. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
I don't want to be reminded of those situations on Judgment Day. Say, you remember that little old lady over there that's about to fall down? That
Did
was
you
me.
Just blew by her?
That was me.
Because you were busy?
I know.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive
us.
Oh,
my God. I don't want to have those. Anyway.
Well, we can avoid tomorrow's regrets today, right?
I mean, exactly. God gives us repent of the ones you missed.
Right. And God gives us mercy and he gives us grace. But that's why we're talking about it, so that we can borrow some experiences and not buy some our own. And and this was a good thing. I mean, I love how, you know, because oftentimes I know you're saying God will speak to us and maybe we think, oh, that's just us.
I would blow it off. We don't have we don't have time. Don't you see I'm on my schedule here? I got to get to going.
Right.
Yeah. I found that a lot of those witnessing times are they're interruptions. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those opportunities to be the light are not going to come at the most opportune time, but it's going to be an interruption to your schedule,
right,
which kind of makes you ask, you know, am I on my schedule or am I on God's schedule?
Right. And that's the test.
It really
that's
is.
That's the test. Are we going to stop our agenda?
Yeah.
Even though, no matter how important it is, it may be even for God. You're doing this in the name of God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yet then God presents you these opportunities at the same time that are inconvenient.
Right.
What are you going to do with it?
Right.
It's so important.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so important. And I love Matthew 25:40, that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. The same is true as whatever you didn't do. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't help her, you didn't help Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus saying that if you know, the disciples said, well, where were you in prison? Where were you hungry? We didn't see you hungry. Jesus, when did this happen? Help us out here. Mm-hmm. And he said, whatever you didn't do to these brothers of mine, you didn't do it to me. And you literally helped Jesus get into the vehicle. And there's opportunities like that all around, especially with our elderly. We're seeing now that our elderly, and we have baby boomers that are retiring. They're not necessarily elderly, but we have, with technology, a lot of our elderly are living longer than maybe they were before, with all the different medicines and technology that's available for them. And they're getting around. They're still driving. Mm-hmm. They're still going out to eat. You know, just the other day, I was walking into a diner and there was a patch of ice. As I was walking in, just a small little patch of ice, you could barely see. It was kind of very clear. Mm-hmm. And I almost slipped walking into the diner myself.
Oh, wow.
I caught myself. And as I was coming, you know, in the diner, I saw three or four elderly lady coming down. The diner had this kind of a slope at an angle. They were holding onto the rail indoors. And I'm thinking, y'all get outside. This is not going to be good. So I kind of held the door and just helped them come out and warn them about the ice thing. Told the guy who owned the restaurant, hey, listen, you want to get some salt out there? Because this is going to be really tragic.
Right.
And there's elderly still getting out. I find that they're just so appreciative. And you know, one day we're going to get old too, you know.
Oh, I know.
So some of us feel old already, but one day we're going to be old.
I think
too.
I need help walking out the door sometimes.
Yeah. But we're helping each other, you know. I think that with all this technology and where the world has been going, is that we're so busy supposedly doing busy things, but we're not doing the chief thing. I mean, what did Jesus tell Martha? It says, Martha, you're worried and preoccupied with many, many things. You're upset about many things, but you just need to do one thing. Mm-hmm. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the one thing for us should always be, you know, it's just to be listening for opportunities from God, to be in a place where we're just in just continue a relationship with Him, listening to His still small voice, and looking with His eyes, as opposed to having a tunnel vision and looking for those places and those times where we can say, you know what, I'm going to do that. That was an awesome encouragement, and thank you for helping us with that, because we want to continue to do that in our lives, reaching out and touching people in need.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially those that are elderly among us.
Exactly.
So I'm going to call you so you can help my grandmama. She get in her car too. She's
Is she down here?
Yeah, she's actually doing pretty good. 90 yeah. years old. Still
lives on
her own.
Wow.
She does have a caretaker that comes in. But let me tell you something. She still cooks. And she threw down over the holidays, man. Made a turkey and made some of our favorite foods. I'm like,
oh,
Mama, did you make this? She just went to town. Still making a banging turkey at 90 years old.
And wow.
Old. So I love seniors. We used to go. And I love to do this again, but we used to go. It reminds me. We used to go to the nursing homes, And I've taken my children, and this is, they love when you come in to sing Christmas carols. Mm. So we've gone together, several of us from the church, and we'd just go and sing Christmas carols. And the great thing about seeing the elderly, they don't care how good or bad you sing. They're a great audience. I get rocking out there, you know, because they love it.
Right.
Hearing's not the best, thank God. And they enjoy it, and they love to see little children. I remember when I took my boys, and they were like holding little dolls, and they wanted to kiss them and, you know, pinch their cheeks and all that. And I love visiting nursing homes. If you get the chance, really make it a point, especially during the holidays. A lot of them don't have family that can come and see them and visit with them, or they've lost family, and they so appreciate having visitors.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north, and let your nose lead you the way. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Radical? That was Jesus a radical? He was, wasn't he a radical?
He was pretty radical. Yeah.
He was rocking every place he went. I mean, the place was just getting turned upside down, including when he went into the temple, he started saying, that's not right, kick over. That's not right, hit with a whip. I mean,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We got to read the red letters again. Yeah. We got to get in touch with the red blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses sin, and the red letters in the Word of God. Listen, I don't want you, you know, to be offended. Understand? And the truth offends only those who don't want to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all we got to do if we weren't following it is just go, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah, that's what I want. I want God. I want God. And so you don't want to be offended by it. You want to be, think about it. You know, we're not making progress. We're actually declining. Everything's declining in the American church, and things are shifting to other nations. As a matter of fact, listen to Steve Hill right now. Steve Hill and Peter Wagner discuss the very same thing, and I'll be right back.
And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're, don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
Think about it. We're not making progress in America. Is that not enough? I mean, if you're on a football team, and the point of the being on the football team is to score points, and we're not scoring points, maybe we need to rethink our playbook. Maybe we need to rethink what we're doing. Let's go back to the original playbook. Let's go back to the original word. Let's just say, you know what, God? You are right. Here I am. Send me. Maybe VFN's for you. Vine Fellowship Network. You can get to it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or just go to vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org. vfnradio.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. What I want to talk about, guys, I want to talk about the rewarded secret life. Did you know that there's a good secret life you're supposed to have? You know, sometimes you hear about a secret life, you're thinking, did you know that person had a secret life? And they associate that secret life with a bad thing.
Right.
But you know, there's a good secret life to have. Mm-hmm. And it's not supposed to be known by anybody.
Right.
It's a secret. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 tells us all about it. In fact, Jesus encourages us as believers, as Christians, as followers, as ambassadors, as sons and daughters of God and the family of God. God encourages us to do a lot of things, mainly everything out of love. But he encourages us to give to the needy. Mm-hmm. He encourages us to pray. And he encourages us to fast. These are things that should be part of our life. This is who we are. Because this is what the Lord instructs of us to do. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be givers. We're supposed to be people of prayer, of communion, people that talk with God. We have a relationship with him. And we're supposed to be people that fast, that we deny ourselves food for the purposes of just drawing closer to God, to kill our flesh so that we can just, it's a way of offering our lives to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that we can hear him and obey him better. And Jesus is more concerned about the motives of what we do than the righteous acts themselves.
Right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, with a religious bent, we could say, okay, God wants us to do this. Check, 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 check.
All
right. But God said, hey, hold your horses now. Slow your roll. I'm saying, back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not so much what you do, but it's the why of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Just because you're doing the right thing, it doesn't mean that you're right and that it's acceptable to God. I mean, so, you know, you start offering sacrifices, obedience is better than sacrifice. You just can't just be doing stuff just to do stuff. It's why are you doing that? Why are you giving? You know, what's the reason? What are the motives behind what you're doing? God's always looking at the motives. He's looking at what's at the core of our heart. What's behind the thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to question people's motives. That's what God does. He's the one that's looking at our hearts. We're supposed to take people at face value. But God is the only one who can actually question our hearts. Right? He's looking. He's looking at the motives. The first thing he tells us in terms of righteous acts and Matthew 6:1, he says, be careful. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by men.
Right.
That's religious. That's having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's doing religious acts for the praises of men. It says, be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness, your good deeds, mm-hmm. before men to be seen by men. Look at me, I'm doing such a nice thing. Mm-hmm. Look at me, I'm giving alms to the poor. Look at me. It's like, no, 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 no. We're not doing this for the eyes of men. Jesus tells us we shouldn't do these things for that purpose. And it's significant. It's a significant issue amongst many believers, you know, because we've got to grow in the place of the why, mm-hmm. the motives, the real reason. We're not going after God to check off a box. We're not going after God to say, we've done these 10 things off the list. And look, I'm good. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my son about motives. My youngest son, Isaiah, he came down this morning and saw that he was abiding. And he's on a roll, you know.
Yeah.
God touched him at the One Thing conference, and he's just like, you know, counting the days. And this is his sixth day in a row, he told me, or something. He's abiding with God. And
oh, wow.
He, check this out, he abides with God before he eats breakfast. Because he says, Dad, if I eat breakfast, I'll lollygag. That's what he said. I'll lollygag around and mess around, and then I'll be too late. I got to go to school, and then I'll forget or something.
Yeah. Which one's this?
This is Isaiah. It's my youngest son. So he's abiding. And he's writing in his journal. We're talking about what the Lord showed him, and I just felt led in my heart to talk with him and say, hey, you know that God doesn't love you more because you're abiding. I mean, I know this is so cool. I know you love abiding and, you know, just being touched right now, and it's encouraging you. But it's important for me to speak to him about why he's doing what he's doing. Because if he thinks that he is abiding, and that's, well, you know, Dad loves abiding. Dad's always talking about abiding. So, you know, this is going to give me points with my dad, or this is going to give you points with God.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to see that I'm doing more gooder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, no. And the analogy I gave him, I said, do you remember when you were in elementary school, and when you did good that day, the teacher gave you a star
right.
for every day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would do your behavior right so that you can get a star. And it's like, you know what? With God, you already have all the stars.
Right.
Your whole month is already filled up. He already loves you. You're not abiding, and you're not spending time with the Lord so that God could say, oh, I love you now because you're spending time. God already loves you. You're spending time with God just because you love him. You're not earning anything, or you're not trying to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real important. I mean, it's huge. So we talked about it. He's like, yeah. He was getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could be doing all of this abiding, and many people are doing these things. They're doing seemingly good acts. They're doing the right thing with the wrong heart. And guess right. what? You're going to get the wrong results. You're going to get into works. That's not going to last. And I want him to have a relationship with God. I just don't want him to read the Bible just yeah. because, right?
Right.
Because God doesn't want so. That for us.
Yeah,
because Dad said so. It was just because God says so. God wants us. This is a loving relationship. This is a get to, not a got to.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
So motives are so important. And Jesus says, you know, if we do this before men, it's the quickest way that we lose out on God's future rewards. I was like, oh, well, you'll get your reward from men. If that's what you want, that you've got your reward. You're not getting a reward in heaven for that, but you got your reward.
Right.
And I don't want men's reward. I don't want the prestige of men. I don't want that. I want God's reward, right?
Right.
And verse 3 says, however, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
In secret, where no one knows about it. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, we're talking about the rewarded secret life. That God has rewards for us. And sometimes we don't know, we forget.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to reward us. God, there's a way of there's a why behind what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
God says, hey, take care of the needy, give to the needy. But don't, you know, pat yourself on the chest for what you did. Don't go out and tell others. Don't brag about it. And believe you me, this may not seem like elementary to you. But let me tell you, there's a lot of subtle ways that people do a lot of padding. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we got to really check the motive of our hearts. Why would I do that? Why would you do that? Are we looking for the praises of men? Jesus warns us about being a hypocrite. He says those that do that are being hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And what a hypocrite is, a person who professes beliefs or opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her real feelings or motives. And I'll say that again. A person who professes, so I'm not a hypocrite, a person who professes beliefs or opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her real feelings or motives. It's like, at the truth of it, are you really giving to God because giving to the needy because you have compassion for them and God, what does God love? And I start judging them, so I'm going to start just blessing a needy person,
right?
Because I want to show the love of God. Or, you know, God said to do this, so, you know, I'm going to get some points with people that esteem that. It's not how I really feel, but, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
mother,
yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly that app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV and the Daily Radio program right there on a, on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I got the restroom, and but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone, and just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes, and there's no difference between men and women, and we're all all the stuff was going on, and. And I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door, and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room, and it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back, because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just try to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And I don't think that people take enough time to be honest with themselves to really see what is operating on their heart. You know, sometimes you, in your computer, and you turn on your computer, you have a lot of programs that are operating in the background that are not seen to the average eye.
Right.
And so you don't know what's going on. I mean, your computer's functioning, you hit a button and something happened, but you don't know that there's a program unseen to you that you didn't open up, but it's still operating your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, there's places you can look and you can know exactly what's running on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we need to check our hard drive. We need to check what's running in the back of our computer in our heart that causes us to do certain things. You got to look a little bit deeper beyond the surface. And sometimes you got to ask God to shine the light of his word, to shine the light of his truth. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me what is at the core of my heart. Am I really doing this with the most purest motives? Because you know what? You are going to get rewarded. But the question is the size of your reward.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, my goodness, at the end of the day, that's going to be sad. You know, it's like, okay, here, come get your five penny. What? But we did the same thing. We both gave to the needy. We both prayed. We both fasted. We all did it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, here's your five pennies. Here's your, you know, whatever. It was like, but we did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I saw your heart. I saw your hearts were different. Your hearts were different.
Yeah.
Verse 5 talks about when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, right? When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. Are you really praying 30 minutes here before we eat? Or is this really, really happening? I have a saying when we pray for food, it's like, this is not the time to catch up with your prayer life right now, okay? This is not the time to do that. This is done in secret.
Right.
And that's important. You know what I'm saying? We won't do this right now. But it's like, are you really praying forever here?
Right, exactly. Like,
what's happening? What's going on here?
Right.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. But instead, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We're talking about the rewarded secret life.
Mm.
There are things that God wants you to do just to him. Are you willing to minister to the audience of one? Are you willing to do things that are not seen by anybody but God? Because your motives at the core of your heart, you want to love him.
Right.
You want to honor him. And it's like if most of our prayers are done publicly and not privately, that's a concern.
Yeah.
If the only time we worship God is in public, our greatest worship experience is when we come together collectively, is that the greatest worship experience? I think God wants us to see him in the secret place. God, there's a blessing, there's a reward when you go after God in secret, and when you close the door and you say, God, it's just me and you.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't need a group of people. I just want to spend time with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest opportunity that we have, that God the Father allows us to have access to Him. Open door policy any single time that we can talk to God. It's one of the greatest underutilized privileges a believer has.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do it in secret so that God can reward you? If He didn't reward you, be beautiful to do. But God rewards you with more of His presence, you know, more revelation. He brings, you have the ability to understand, and it gives you more wisdom and more revelation. It's like, oh God, this is so wonderful. He says, in your presence, there's this fullness of joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. But you got to go in the secret place. I'll never forget what somebody said, and I kind of adopted this saying, and I just say this often because it encourages me, and I believe it encourages others. But you know, you can have as much God as you want. Mm-hmm. God doesn't ration Himself out. He doesn't say, you can only have a little bit of me.
Right.
You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want?
Mm-hmm.
We can have as much as we want, right? So we pray in secret. Verse 16 talks about when you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, as they disfigure their faces. To show men that they are fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. How you doing? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm being spiritual right now. Right. I'm denying my flesh.
Right.
But when you fast, put on oil on your head. Put on some makeup if you're a female. Wash your face. Brush your teeth, please. I mean, I'm just adding that in there. Right? Wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who sees what is done in secret, so that He can reward you.
Right.
I mean, God wants us to join Him again in the rewarded secret life. You know, and whatever the Lord asks us to do, it must be done with pure motives in order to be received by God. I mean, this is just so good. So, you know, we got to be willing. We got to be willing to do the right thing with the right motives. Jesus didn't come to have, he didn't die so that He can have religious hypocrites.
Right.
Jesus died so that He can have followers. So He could have people that would love Him. So He have people that would just do what, you know, for God. In fact, Titus 2:14 says Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. He came for a people that would live for Him, for a people who would want to live for Him, to do the right thing for the right reasons out of the love of God, fully aware that His eyes are upon them. Let me tell you something. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, do it for the eyes of one. Go and do it in a secret place so that God could reward you. That is the place that the Lord is looking. Is he in a secret place? Is she in her secret place? Let me tell you, you want to find God? You want to go to another place in God? Join Him in the secret place and He'll reward you.
In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.